The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon. Mike Shaw in for Seth Leibson this afternoon. I am the political director for the Republican Party of Arizona. Thank you, Seth, so much for letting me sit in for you. It is an honor, sir, and I do appreciate that. And again, happy Columbus Day, because, yes, we are celebrating not just because I'm half Italian on my mom's side, grandpa from Naples, grandma from Sicily. That's why I'm so dang short. Thanks, grandma. But, you know, we're celebrating Columbus Day because it was a great thing that Christopher Columbus did as an explorer. He got the venture capital, some angel investors in Spain, and he discovered a new world on his way to a shorter trade route to India and the East. It was brilliant, and we salute you, sir. And if someone tries to tell you otherwise, they're just trying to run the country that I love so much down. Bruce Ash, our guest, as we start out the 4 o'clock hour, National Committeeman for the Republican Party of Arizona. Bruce, happy Columbus Day, sir.
Thank you, Sam, to you and all the listeners.
I appreciate that. Now, we have some more ground to cover, and this one's interesting, I think, in this sense. So you talked about how the left attacked you and sent you thousands of emails to bog down your email server so that you couldn't do your work, really. And this is the harassment that we're hearing. I heard David Schweikert talk about it when I heard him talk recently and others. And one of the tactics of the left is to harass Republicans and their staff and their families, which is, I'm sorry, that's just evil.
We saw this with the new administration.
Yeah, yeah.
Maxine Waters and others telling their followers to go to the restaurants, follow them into grocery stores, follow them on the streets, and harass and resist wherever they possibly could. Heck, the night of the inauguration, my wife and I were literally running down New York Avenue as protesters protesting the inauguration earlier that day were throwing rocks and bricks at us. They were throwing tear gas at us. It was an absolute you-know-what show.
Yeah.
And this has been this way ever since the president was elected. And, you know, it's not going to make any difference. I mean, the president has done more to change this country in the positive, fundamental way back to a sounder and a stronger America. They're not going to stop us, but you know, these guys are they're all about confusion, they're all about harassment, yep, and they're all about resistance, and it's not going to work.
And it's a tactic that they are doing on purpose. They train others in how to do it, whether it's the violent end, and that's the extreme end, but even on the harassment end, they are doing it, and they've been doing it since this before this president. They've just stepped it up a notch because of Trump derangement syndrome. But what they're trying to do is discourage Republicans for being involved and getting involved and being effective. And the more that they harass you, the more effective you're being. You're more of a threat to them. And so if you're attracting that kind of attention, that is a good thing. You're being effective. Don't back down because they're trying to discourage you and keep you out of the public square.
If you're taking flack, Mike, you're over the target.
That's right.
Yes. The president is obviously over the target.
Yep.
That's why he takes the flack he does. And any of us in the activist world, and there's thousands of them who are probably listening to this show right now, continue doing what you feel is right. Always be respectful, but always make your point. Don't be afraid to do it. They want to silence us, and they can't silence us. There's nothing that says we can't be out on the sidewalks. There's nothing that says we can't be showing support of our flag and our country, and we're going to continue doing that. And you know what? In a quiet sort of a way, and you and I have both had this happen dozens and dozens of times over the past roughly 3 years. People come up and they literally whisper to me in my ear because they know the work that I do as a volunteer. They say, keep it up. I can't believe how much good stuff is happening since Trump was elected. Yes. I know he's a little, you know, he's a little crazy sometimes, you know, with his language, but he is great. And you know what? He has been doing a great job. And it is that silent majority in America who is going to support him in this next election. I firmly believe it. The Democrats are going to have one heck of a time competing against Donald Trump in the 2020 election.
No, I completely agree with you on that. And what's really cool about the tweets, and I'll be honest, during the campaign, I was a little uneasy about them and some of them and that tactic. But I have come to appreciate, and I don't know when the light bulb went off, but it was like, oh, my goodness, he is the tweeter in chief in a very tactical way. And he's the PC wrecker, and he is tweaking them to an expert degree. And now I love it. I love every second of it.
Mike, it was the president who really single-handedly, practically, dragged everybody in the Republican Party across the finish line in 2016.
Yeah.
When we changed our rules between 2010 and 2016, it was designed to create an opportunity for just sort of an outsider as Donald Trump. We knew that we weren't going anyplace with this top-down sort of approach to politics. We needed a disruptor. We needed somebody who was willing to take this upon him or herself and turn the party around. And Donald Trump is everything that we dreamt for. Sometimes it's a little messy, and it's going to continue being messy. But change is difficult like that. This guy said he was about change. He is making that happen in so many different ways.
I haven't seen a doer like him since Ronald Reagan, and probably has exceeded Reagan in not, you know, he'll
and they
say
they hated Reagan too.
Yeah, they did.
They hated Reagan too.
They did because he was effective.
I don't think there's been a president quite like Donald Trump since Theodore Roosevelt. And before Theodore Roosevelt, it probably was Andrew Jackson.
There you go.
And they hated Roosevelt. They hated Jackson. Change is difficult to accept. And even some of the things that we saw over the weekend with a change of policy in the Middle East, the president has been talking about this since before he was elected. This was part of his election campaign strategy. He has followed through on it. We have been doing the same thing over and over again for the last 30, 40 years, and it hasn't helped us.
Yeah.
We have certainly helped a lot of people, but it hasn't helped the United States of America.
Yeah.
We need to be focusing on China, which is the big Satan. That's the direction, as well as Iran, that we need to be focused on with our foreign policy, and the president's doing that.
All right, Bruce, just 3 minutes left. I want to talk about the presidential preference election. We have decided to opt out of that as the Republican Party. Some people think that's a bad thing, but I think overwhelmingly people know that it's a good thing. But for those who have doubts, what do you say?
No, it's a great idea. And party activists, because the Republican Party is a bottom-up party today. Party activists have been talking about taking control of our delegate selection process for years and years and years. And nobody would allow us to do that. We went to the campaign and we said, this is what we think we want to do here in Arizona. We don't want the president to be bogged down, slogged by the media and his opposition is going to spend millions of dollars in Arizona. We don't want to have a situation where the president has to spend time and money here. We want to be able to focus everything on the general election. So we set up a system where we're appointed and elected precinct committee men and women. They will be the ones who decide who the delegates are who go to the state convention in May of 2020, and ultimately those people who will go to the national convention in Charlotte in August of 20. This is great party building. We have already signed up hundreds and hundreds of new PCs. Everybody, contact your LD chairs, contact your CD chairs, contact your county party, wherever you're listening to this. Become an appointed PC. You can't be elected anymore. That only happens in 2020. But become an appointed PC. It gives you the right. You have your voting right as a Republican Party member to vote in your county party setting or in your legislative district setting to send convention delegates. You can become a convention delegate yourself. We want to make sure that Donald Trump is nominated again for a second term. We want his reelection to be successful. This is the way that we decided to do it. It's a party dream. We've been wanting to do this for years. This is the first opportunity. The campaign gave us this opportunity to do it, and we took it. We ran with five other states. So we're proud of what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think it is the absolute correct thing to do. And it's funny because we had people harassing us on the phone after that, but of the dozens of calls that we got, they all were saying the exact same thing as if they were reading off a script, Bruce. It was crazy.
Kelly Ward's doing a heck of a job, and she was part and parcel of this strategy, and good on her. She's doing a great job.
Thank you. Bruce Ash, our national committee man for the Republican Party of Arizona.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you very much, sir. All right. When we come back from the break, I will elaborate a little bit more about how you can contact your legislative district chairman, because I am the political director for the Republican Party of Arizona, sitting in for Seth Leibson on the Seth Leibson Show, 960, The Patriot. Oh, yeah. I know this one. That's Jimmy Buffett for you parrot heads. Cheeseburger in Paradise. We're finally into my era where I can name these tunes in one note, some of them literally. I used to be a top 40 DJ. Did you know that? You did not know that? When you shake your head, people can't hear you, Producer Bill. Okay, thank you, Producer Bill. Hey, Producer Bill, I just heard about the Patriot app. Now, how in the world do you guys have the technology people can talk to you directly from the app? Can they really? That is amazing. Okay, during the next break, I'm going to download the Patriot app to my Note 10. Now, I got a message today from T-Mobile, and apparently I have Jump on Demand, I guess. And so I thought I was getting near the time of my iPhone 10 being paid off. So I took my iPhone 10, traded it in for a 10R, paid the difference, had the 10R still paying off the 10 with T-Mobile. Then I took the iPhone 10R, traded it in for a Note 10, still paying off the iPhone 10 with T-Mobile. The iPhone 10 is almost paid off, so then my Note will be paid off. In theory, that's what I thought. Well, then I get this email today saying that your Jump is coming to an end, and if you want to pay off your device, you can make six more payments. I'm like, did I not read the fine print here? So you know what I'm thinking of doing. I've been seeing the YouTube videos, and the new iPhone 11, that camera is amazing. And I thought the Note 10 had an amazing camera, and it actually does. But the iPhone 11 actually has a better camera than the 10 and the 10S had. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to pay it off because I really need to stop. I self-identify as a millennial, and I am a gadget guy, and it is an expensive habit. I do not recommend it, but it's kind of fun. If you enjoy gadgets and you have that itch, sometimes you have to scratch it. I'm just saying. So it's not smart fiscally, and I'm sure there's plenty of financial shows on 960 The Patriot. And if I called into one from my Patriot app, they would say, Mike, you're being an idiot. Oh, they'd probably be nicer than that. Mike, you're being kind of stupid. How about that? All right. Your call is at 602-508-0960. What phone do you have? Are you a gadget person? Do you care about the technology? Originally, I was going to do a couple segments on self-driving cars, 5G, some of this tech stuff that I just love. This is what I spend a lot of time thinking about and talking about when I'm not the political director of the Republican Party of Arizona. It's just something that's always fascinated me. That and MBTI, the Myers-Briggs stuff. We could talk about that too. But I wanted to hit on something that Bruce Ash said. He's our national committeeman for the Republican Party of Arizona. So he hangs out with the Republican National Committee, and he's big man on campus, and I'm really proud to call him friend. He is a great guy, and just talk about service to the party. He's amazing, and he helps me all the time. So I did want to say that if you want to become a precinct committeeman and you want to do it in time to vote for the delegates who are going to go to the state convention, and the delegates going to the national convention will be chosen from those delegates, so it's kind of a big deal. If you are not a precinct committeeman yet, you have until October 29th to get your paperwork into your legislative district chairman, who can get it to the county chairman to get it to the Board of Supervisors in time for you to be appointed by the end of the year. So time is short. So go to our website, azgop.com. And this is kind of funny. The page isn't ready yet, but the page will be up soon. That will have all of the legislative district chairs and their emails, so you can get a hold of them and get this done. Now, in the meantime, you can email me. This is part of my job as the political director at the Republican Party of Arizona, is to serve you, the members of the Republican Party, and not just the PCs and not just the chairman and not just their executive committees and not just the candidates. Yes, all of that. But you, the Republican Party rank and file, if you want to be a PC in time to select delegates or be one, give me just send me an email, mike.shaw@azgop.org. mike.shaw@azgop.org. Let's go to Rob in Surprise. Rob, what's on your mind?
Well, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have called Seth numerous times, and I'm writing down your email address, mike.shaw@azgop.org.
Dot org.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, because one of the reasons I was calling, I went to an event in Sun City Grand on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where there was a pretty good turnout of my fellow seasoned citizens in Sun City Grand. And it was all local Republican Party people.
Yeah.
And I think it was Drew Sexton who was there.
It was at the rally for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he had done a great job talking about the need for Republicans to register Republicans to vote.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things that he talked about was that, when Martha McSally was running a year ago, she lost by, I think one of the figures was like 55,900 votes. And it turned out that the Democrats had actually registered like 56,000 plus votes. So one of the things that I was concerned about was that I don't know that the Republicans do such a good job of registering Republican voters as the Democrats do. You know, they have community activists and they have people that go out door to door. And again, that's something the Republicans need to do.
So, Rob, I'm going to interrupt you there because we only have 2 minutes left in the segment to explain the answer.
Sure.
So you're not wrong. The Democrats have what we call billionaires who are funding paid people to go out and register people to vote and other activities. So they are paying people. All right. So we are relying on you, our volunteers, and we are working that hard, and we are so proud of our volunteers. I will give you a little bit of hope, Rob. And I track this from the Secretary of State's office. Every quarter they put out the voter registration numbers for the state. We are way ahead of the Democrats statewide this year, way ahead of them statewide this year. Now, I'm going to scare you a little bit. We are behind them in Maricopa County. So when you're talking about statewide races, this is very good news. The rural counties are going to help us a lot. When you're talking about keeping the House of Representatives at the state level red, we need to do better in Maricopa County.
Absolutely. And that's where, and again, we may have to go past the news here at 4:30, but there's an organization.
Well, what happened?
there was an organization that set up Saturday's rally called the Power of Fives, and I know they advertised on the radio here and a couple other stations. And they're looking for conservatives to run for state office.
Always.
Now, yeah, and it seems that they're doing a job that the state Republican Party should be doing, but isn't right now.
Oh, that's not true, Rob, but I only have 20 seconds to respond. But thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. We're going to take our break, and we are looking for candidates, of course. In fact, if you're one who wants to be one, call me 602-508-0960. No safe spaces. We'll talk about the person who we'll talk with the person who wrote it and this movie that you want to see first in Phoenix before the rest of the country. John Sullivan, our guest next on the Seth Liebson Show on 960 The Patriot. All right. I know this one, too. It's a tragedy. Tragedy by the Bee Gees. Back in the disco era, I am old enough for that. I tell you what, Producer Bill, I am so old. I have 7 grandchildren. I have 2 grandchildren in high school. Isn't that crazy? I have one of them in junior high. He's playing football. Right on. All right. And Texas football at that. So I need to go visit because I want to go. I need to see one of his games for sure. Very exciting. All right. This is the Seth Liebson Show. This is 960 The Patriot. I'm Mike Shaw filling in for Seth. Again, Seth, thank you so much for asking me to come on. It is an honor and a privilege, sir. And joining us on the show, another honor and privilege. I'm telling you what, this is the biggest issue of the day for me. Forget about full impeachment. This has much greater consequences for the country, for the world, if I may. And I'm going to go there with the writer of No Safe Spaces. John Sullivan, thank you for coming on the show, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. I'm pretty good. But now we're going to get I'm going to depress myself talking about the subject because I see the writing on the wall. My extroverted intuition as an ENFP sees where this is going, and it's not a good place. But, I mean, let's start, I guess, at the beginning, and we'll work our way there. How about that? I just want to start with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. Those two have been teaming up on stuff for a while now, and it's at first it seemed like an unlikely partnership, but the longer they're just perfect together. They're awesome, and Adam is hilarious, and Dennis has his such a dry sense of humor. He's also hilarious. What was it like working with those guys, and how did you write to them? How does that work?
Yeah, so they've been great to work with, both Adam and Dennis, and they are seem like an unlikely pairing until you get to know them, and they have this love of America. You know, they truly love not just America, they love Americans, and they're very concerned about the free speech issue, and the way this whole program kicked off was they were actually asked not to come to Cal State Northridge and do one of their tour stops together. So they've been kind of going around the country together doing this kind of common sense tour. And Cal State Northridge here by Los Angeles said, you know what, you guys are uninvited. And both of them had spoken there before.
Yeah.
And so that kind of kicked this whole thing off. And then after that, we started seeing what was happening in Berkeley, University of Washington, and then, you know, colleges across the country, if speakers were disinvited to come, and these safe spaces started showing up on campuses. So that's kind of what kicked off the whole movie in that sense.
Yeah, so I'm sure that about before the movie's over, your writing and Dennis and Adam's insights, you're going to take us down the rabbit hole a little bit and come to where some of this naturally concludes if we're not careful, I'm sure. But in the meantime, kind of where are we now? You know, Dennis is suing YouTube, for example. You know, the tech giants are shadow banning or outright banning mostly conservative thought and speech. Is it getting really bad, or is it just a little bit of bad? It's kind of bad if it happens to you, bad.
Well, I mean, for most Americans right now, I think it's kind of, they feel it's kind of bad, but it's not happening to them, or they don't feel it's happening to them. What they need to understand is it's absolutely happening to them. And the real scary part of it is the velocity that it's increasing at. So for a lot of people, they think, hey, this is just kind of a college issue. It's just on college's campuses. And, you know, those college kids are crazy, but they'll grow out of it. They're not growing out of it. They're actually growing into it. And what I mean by that is, this, for the first time, is where we have students self-censoring and asking to have speakers removed from campuses or not speak about topics. Well, guess what? Those kids graduate, and where do they go? They go into the workforce. and they're going into Google, and they're going into Twitter, and they're going into Facebook. And these are the new places that we talk online, and now we're seeing people getting shut down and shut out. You know, there was 950 pages that were released by a Google Insider that showed the biases that were going on and how algorithms were being manipulated because they weren't shutting people down enough. We've seen this in Facebook go on and on, too. So we know that it's happening in big tech, and so it's going to start affecting people. But these folks are also coming to HR departments. They're coming, you know, into school board. They're going on to city councils. It's going to be everywhere unless we turn this tide and fight back.
All right, John Sullivan is our guest. He's the writer, No Safe Spaces. Show is sold out for tomorrow, but it will be showing Thursday the 24th and the 25th. We'll talk more about that and how you can meet Adam and also Dennis Prager at those events. That'll be exciting. But when we come back, we're going to go down the rabbit trail. How bad could this get, and what are the consequences if the worst-case scenario happens? Think Russia at its worst. Stay with the Seth Liebeson Show on 960. The Patriot. Don't know the name of the song. I know it's a couple, 3 years old. I crank it up in my car when I'm driving. So there's that. All right. It is the Seth Liebeson Show on 960 The Patriot. Seth will be back tomorrow, I do believe. Is that right, Producer Bill? Yes, he's pointing at me, shaking his head, saying, yes, I believe those signs are body language. I think that's what that means in body language. Very good. So Seth will be back tomorrow. Thank you, Seth, so much for having me on. I'm Mike Shaw, the political director at the Republican Party of Arizona. Mike.Shaw@azgop.org. If you want to become a PC in time to vote for the state convention. See who the delegates are. You could decide. You could be one yourself. All right. Let's get back to our conversation with John Sullivan. He's the writer of No Safe Spaces, a movie that is coming to Phoenix before the rest of the country, with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla as the stars and the commentators. John, thank you again. Probably Jonathan, right? Thanks for being on with us. No, not Jonathan.
Hey, no problem, Mike.
Okay,
good.
Straight
up John.
Straight up John. All right, John, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole with you, and I don't know how much of this you do in the movie, because I haven't seen it yet. And I'm assuming people can see it starting the 24th and the 25th of this month at the Harkins-Scottsdale 101, right?
That's correct. So the movie opens in Phoenix before anywhere else before the country. So we open on the 24th, that Thursday night. The 7 p.m. screening is already sold out. I think there's a 7:30 and a 9:30. A 9 o'clock and a 9:15 that are on sale now. We're working to get Adam Carolla out there for that Thursday night. Dennis will be there on Friday the 25th. So you have a chance to meet Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla there. I think Dennis is actually doing a show from the theater, which will be awesome. And so you can come out and meet him there. And
might be distracting for the other people watching the movie, but whatever.
Yeah, he does a commentary, the director's commentary all the way through.
Oh, that'd be great, yes.
Yeah, so he'll be doing a show from the theater there, but then I believe the noon show is already sold out there, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's already starting to pick up. We're starting to see that. So
that's great.
It's phenomenal.
So here's how I envision it, and this is how I envision it, worst-case scenario, and this is why people need to vote for Republicans from, of course, my point of view from the Republican Party of Arizona. But in a two-party system, you have two choices. You have the crazy left that are pushing this agenda of stifling people's free speech if they deem it offensive, and that can be as simple as they disagree with what you're saying, so it's offensive to them. So vote Republican if you don't want to go down this path that I'm going to outline for you now. So if you start to control free speech, which they are doing, and especially when you talk about the tech giants, the YouTubes, the Facebooks, and the Twitters, which is now the public forum for people not just the United States but of the world. And if they're shadow banning you and outright banning you for certain types of speech, it's already begun. Eventually what can happen is you can get to the point where your thought and your speech is controlled like it was in the Soviet Union, where you could have conservatives and Christians like me in re-education camps and gulags, and you would have the ruling Socialist Party at the top with their caviar, and then you have the rank and file rest of Americans in breadlines. Am I wrong, John?
So the way it's going to happen and come down is similar to that, but it's going to be, at first, again, this is a boiling frog situation. It's not going to be so abrupt or so clear, but it will be coming down through the technology. It's going to be the way they'll be controlling it. So right now in China, they have a social grading system. This will start, is already being talked about, coming into America, to where you'll have social points, basically, and these tech giants will eventually, you know, ban you, moderate you, whatever in that sense. Now, we got to remember, this is going out into different ways, too. I think it'll eventually go down to the point where it's affecting your credit score, your actual credit score.
So Chase has already banned a couple of conservatives from having bank accounts. They're doing it to gun dealers as well.
Correct. And I know specifically a gun manufacturer that was dropped by Bank of America suddenly with no rhyme or reason. So we're already seeing this starting to happen. And again, it's not just freedom of speech, it's freedom of expression. And people need to remember that. We've seen it in other things with the bakeries and the lawsuits that have come down over that in Colorado and other areas. We're seeing it where Beto O'Rourke even said with churches, if you disagreed with, you know, gay marriage, that would be something, you know, they would start taking away tax-exempt status. This is all part of that whole situation. We have to understand it. And again, what we advocate in the movie is not either a political point of view outside of the fact of we have a constitution. We need to follow the constitution. I'm very proud that we actually have some people from the left in the movie, like Cornel West and Van Jones, Dave Rubin, Alan Dershowitz, and others that are actually defending free speech. It's not all just from the right because of Dennis, but you know, there are people on the left that understand, they're recognizing this is a problem. This isn't the party I signed up for here. And we're starting to see this pushed out. We're seeing this be pushed out, too, on things on colleges' campuses. If you want to talk about fossil fuels, if you're an engineering professor, you're probably going to be banned or shut down at some point in time if you're saying, look, this is the most efficient way to get energy out of something because there's an agenda being pushed on other elements like solar or wind or something else. Even though you're just talking about science, we've already seen it happen with the gender situation. You know, scientists, biologists coming out, there's two genders. No, suddenly now there's like 72 different genders. So again, we see not just kind of on the political speech being affected, but this is starting to trickle into over our science and technology of what's happening there too.
Yeah, and the scary part is, you know, you have Canada with their, I forgot the name of it, Rule 37, whatever it is, where if you don't use the proper pronouns for these specific genders, then you will be fined or worse. We're seeing New York City is proposing talking about fining you if you use the words illegal alien. And I could go on and on. And I imagine you point those out in the movie, too. With our last minute and a half, what can we do? What can I do?
Well, I think the first thing is I think people need to see No Safe Spaces.
Yeah.
Because I think what it shows is different than just telling people about it. You get the emotional situation. You see it firsthand. We were at the riots at Berkeley and other places. You get to see this up front and see the velocity that it's happening with and how it's expanding out there. Also, you need to understand it's coming. This is an inevitable fight that we're in right now. And it's going to be more extensive and expansive than people are thinking, and it will be. So we need to prepare, and it is a battle issue. It's a line drawn in the sand, and we have to fight back because if we don't, I mean, this is our First Amendment for a reason. It's our most precious amendment because it drives everything else. If you lose the freedom of expression and consciousness, we lose everything. We lose the individual. The collective has won.
Yeah, it's really a scary scenario if you think about the worst case scenario. But there is hope because we still have our free speech right now, and we can exercise that and our free expression as well by going to see No Safe Spaces. Check out Harkins Scottsdale 101. I believe online you can buy tickets for the Thursday and Friday show, the 24th and 25th, if Thursday's not sold out already. John, I'll see you then, man. Looking forward to it.
Great. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Again, the Harkins Scottsdale 101 and No Safe Spaces. Check out Friday the 25th and Thursday the 24th, starting here in Phoenix before anywhere else in the nation. And Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla might even be there. All right, when we come back, more of the Seth Leibson Show on 960 The Patriot. Stay with us. Yes. I have no idea what that is. It's country again. So, wait. Is that Alabama? I'm just guessing. I was so close. I don't know. I have a friend and that I used to hang out with a lot a couple years ago, and she listens to country. So I learned a little bit, but obviously not much. So much for being a quick study. All right, so Seth Leibson Show, how are you? I'm Mike Shaw, filling in for Seth. Again, Seth, thank you so much for asking me to do this. I am the political director with the Republican Party of Arizona. I self-identify as a millennial just because I'm such a gadget guy, and I love technology, and I built my PC years ago. I need an upgrade. I have a Note 10 because it was new. I get a new phone. I get one or two new phones a year. I just can't seem to stop. It's an addiction of some sort. I need to have the latest cameras. And, you know, I used to have a couple of YouTube channels. I still do. I just dabble in it, you know. I dream someday maybe I'll be a YouTuber. Isn't that what millennials dream of? They dream of safe spaces, some of them. But most millennials get a bad name for that. And maybe I'm just based on my own experience because I hang around awesome people. And my last radio job in Tucson 2 years ago, or even a year ago, on the other side of the glass was a gentleman named Ray. He was a millennial, and what an outstanding dude. And I would have millennials that lived in Tucson on the show that were doing a lot of amazing things in Tucson. Again, amazing millennials. My son, biomedical engineer, lives in Austin, is an amazing millennial. My daughter, who works for a company that services hospitals and has four kids and is an amazing mother, is an amazing millennial. So they are out there. And my experience, more than not. So, and I tell you what, too, at the Republican Party of Arizona, we have 1, 2, 3, counting the Trump team, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We probably have 6 millennials in that office out of like 9 employees. About 9 of us, 6 of them are millennials. And they are awesome, amazing people. So they're to me, in my experience, that's majority. So when millennials get such a bad rap, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't experienced it for myself. Now, maybe to make it complete to self-identify as a millennial, I should get a federally backed student loan, go to a public college, enroll in something like millennial studies or some other worthless degree. And then maybe then I'll find out who these lazy millennials are that I hear so much about. But so far, my experience has been good. I don't know. All right. You hear the music? Top of the hour is coming up. You're escaping work and going to hit the car wars out there. Just be careful. As my dad says, rubber side down, Shaw, rubber side down. When we come back on the other side of the news, Kelly Townsend, your awesome state representative from Legislative District Number 16, will be with us on the Seth Leibson Show. You're listening to 960 The Patriot.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.